In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors give it their all, fight in disguise to the victors. There's hope. Transformers.
This is Transformers for your listening pleasure with Guard Convoy, Insane Galvatron, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, Sideburn 2, TFR Cool, and your host, Weirdos.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 41. I am Weird Wolf, along with Insane Galvatron.
Hello.
Natsume Ryu.
Hello, hello.
And Sideburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
And we are here to talk about SDCC 2012, the big news roundup. A lot of news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con this year. Anybody have any big disappointments out of it? I know there's some.
Yes.
We might as well start with the disappointments.
Yeah.
There's so much good.
There's so much good, so that's why I was wanting to get the disappointments out of the way.
No breakdown.
Yeah.
Or Unicron. Mostly
Breakdown.
Yeah,
no Unicron. I really
Unicron.
Wanted both, so. You really? I like the look of that Unicron.
It's interesting, but, he was in one episode or two. He wasn't a main character like Breakdown. Just like I could live without a Skyquake. He was in one episode and then one episode as a zombie. You know, but, Breakdown was in a large number of episodes, so I would like to have a toy of him.
Okay. Fortunately, there's going to be some online stores carrying the Japanese Arms Micron version of Breakdown. So, it's not like we're totally being cut off from Breakdown.
As of this recording, everyone is completely sold out. Only Captured Prey has it up as a, tentative restock. And I don't even know if that's 100% guaranteed.
Yeah. I talked to Orson, and he said he's not even sure that he's able to get some. So,
Wow.
But, yeah, as of right now, it does mean we're cut off. There's none available. Unless you want to go to eBay and pay $100 a piece for them or something.
That's ridiculous.
And if he comes back as, spoiler alert, if he comes back as Silas, I'm sure somewhere down the line we'll probably get a Breakdown. Maybe it's not going to be the one that Takara got.
Whole new mold. I like the.
Yeah, it'll probably be a new mold because, work in the revealer gimmick. Because, or not the revealer gimmick, but the. Power Riser gimmick, and that's probably because as far as anyone can tell, Takara's version wasn't designed with the Power Riser gimmick in mind. It doesn't have any of the same elements. So
yeah, there's no translucent plastic arms, which makes it automatically better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look for seeing some of that down the road. He'll probably show up eventually.
Hmm.
One can only hope.
Yeah. I know that it's a little bit of a disappointment, but we saw the pictures of it, and we saw it in the case. Well, I don't think it was the actual one in the case at BotCon, but the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Bruticus in G1 quote unquote colors.
G2.
Huh?
Right. G2.
No, the SDCC.
The SDCC one. I was on board with it. I wanted to get it, and then I saw the actual colors of it. And to me, it's not G1 enough in colors. To me, Vortex should be like a battleship gray, and he is not. He's like a light brown. And Blastoff should be like a dark brown, and he is not. He's like a light tan. I know that's being picky, but if you're going to have a exclusive color scheme that homages the original color scheme of the original character, then it should reflect that. And it
it wasn't homaging G1. It was supposed to be
more game accurate,
video game accurate, because Vortex is sort of an orange and or yellow and red color scheme. in the game. I think it's more supposed to be more tan in the game, but he often comes off looking yellow. And that's what they were doing. They didn't pull it off very well, because while they made Blastoff and Vortex look more accurate, they made Onslaught look, I don't know, almost brown or something like that, or olive. He looks a little off.
Yeah, and that was another nitpick too. Is Onslaught should have had the blue and black camo, and he did not. I guess I misunderstood at BotCon then, because I could have swore I heard somebody say that the SDCC colors was going to be G1 colors. But I guess you're right now that I'm looking at the pictures. It is more game accurate, but still, I'm kind of glad I didn't pop for it. I'm going to be more than happy to sit back and wait for the store release of it. And I also want to plop down for the Amazon G2 colors.
Mm-hmm. BBTS will have that as well, but they'll probably market higher than what Amazon had it for.
Oh, you know,
Amazon's pre-order sold out within hours.
No, actually, it's back up now.
It's back up.
Oh, is it back up now?
It's back up now.
Yeah, I'm probably going to avoid Neon, Vegas Strip Bruticus, as I've previously called them. And I'm just going straight for that G2 Bruticus, because between its box art and, you know, it just looks so retro, that G2 looking box art and the G2 box just period. And I think the color scheme fits it better.
Yeah,
it's just all around better rendition.
Since the game colors are not G1 colors, and the difference in price being $40, if I were going to get this toy, I would also go for the G2. You know, I mean, if the SDCC were G1 colors, it'd be worth the extra $40, barely.
Yeah.
But considering its game colors and the game aren't exactly G1 colors, I being a G1er, I'm not going to pay an extra $40 just for game colors. I'd get the G2, at least an almond, just something that, you know, I would have owned at one time, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll move on to the good news out of the news from the convention. Actually, this is non-convention, I would guess, but I think it's the biggest, most important news out of the recent days is the Gary Robocoon ice cream pop robots. There's going to be a great version of it as well. I know I'm excited about this. How about you guys?
I love grape. It's my favorite candy flavor.
Screw Masterpiece Sideswipe and Soundwave and Thundercracker. I mean, I want a grape lollipop transformer. I mean,
that's why I like Skywarp, because the purple looks like grape.
Yeah, you just want to lick it. Would you just look at that? Just lick
it.
Purple is my favorite color.
Yeah, so now that toy is in, let's see, it's in purple, orange, blue, gold, and silver.
Yep.
That's almost as awesome as Transformers Energon.
Which we haven't ragged on in a while.
Oh, you kind of slipped that one in there.
Well, when we get to Ouch My Wallet, we can rag on it a little bit. I got some Energon toys.
Oh, that's right, you did. new Creons. Anybody? I'm going to toss this one up in the air, whoever grabs it first. New Creons. Who wants to talk? Okay.
Like.
What? You want to talk about? Yeah.
We're getting transforming Creons. I'm so excited. Yes, we have combiners. We have four combiners: Superion, Bruticus, the Constructicons, and Predacus.
Yes, Predacus. They got a few names wrong in this one.
Yes, Scorponox. But anyway, yeah, basically the Creons come with little attachments, and they're colored appropriate to whichever character they're supposed to be. And you sort of either fold them a little bit or lay them on their front sides and move their little bits around. And for the combiners, you actually attach them to each other and whatnot. And so you get combiners, and like there's like 25 just individual ones. Like there's an Arachnid, a Galvatron one. Surprisingly, there's no transforming Bumblebee one, is there?
No.
Or Prime. We got a lot of other characters, like, quote-unquote, Scorponox. Well, because
they still want you to buy the Creo sets for Optimus Prime and Bumblebee to get them,
and Prowl and all that, yeah. So these are a whole bunch of other characters.
I don't understand why one of the Superion bots has a cone head.
It's what's his face? He had a cone head.
Didn't think Aerial Bots had a cone head.
Yeah. Let me look it
looks
up.
Looks like, was it Firefly, the one, the all black one?
No, they all had like a little jet packs for their back.
Yeah, they had jet packs on their back.
None of them.
Well, it might
cone head.
No. It might probably be just referencing the Revenge of the Fallen Aerial Bot from the video game. He was a mix between. Well, no, I don't want to call him Air Raid. He was a mix between two of the Aerial Bots. Like, his alt mode was one of the Aerial Bots, and then his robot mode and colors was a different Aerial Bot. And he had the cone right behind his head, so it looked like he had a cone head unless you looked at him from the side, and then you could see it was behind his head.
Well, this one actually has a cone head. It has, like, a cap over its head that looks like the nose cone of a jet.
Probably just to variate them.
But I think also one of them has a Starscream head sculpt.
Yeah, so my biggest complaint with the Creo line was I didn't want the giant, often ugly Creo sets just to get the Creons, which I thought were pretty cool. So having them separate definitely is more appealing to me, because I think they are just cool little, you know, figures to have around.
Well, I mean, what about the Galvatron and the Waspinator and the Sunstorm? I mean, that's, or is that a completely different?
Oh no, those are still part of the Microchange line. Yeah, they're all blind patch. There was like, I don't know, there's like 20 of these things.
Although I do agree with you, yeah, the Sunstorm, it looks like the nose cone of the jet becomes his robot mode nose cone.
It's just the angle of the photo. He's got the gun in front of him, they're attached to the gun.
Dude, look at the white cannon.
Yeah, it's because of the way it's positioned, it's the camera angle. It doesn't actually attach to his crotch. It's
his
thing he's holding in his hands. See, he's got the white piece in his hand that in the jet mode on his back.
They just didn't position it.
Oh, those photographers.
Oh,
I think they're wrong with those pictures. Did they send you those to photograph them wrong?
Yeah.
So let's see. All the single packs, we got Blastoff, Rampage, Dirge, Inferno, Springer, and Insecticon.
Which is Bludgeon. Probably the worst.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks at it. It doesn't look like an Insecticon at all. It's just Creon with, it looks like an Erraticon, actually, with some blades in its hands.
And he's got a couple extra pairs of legs, yeah. And there's Bludgeon, Arachnid, which oddly enough is a spider and not a helicopter. Hook, I think, I don't know, one of the Aerial Bots, Warpath, and then what is this guy? I don't even know who this guy's supposed to be. Singe.
Yeah, Singe. I really want Singe. But the Aerial Bot, it's Slingshot, but they're calling him Quick Slinger.
Yeah. So apparently they don't have Slingshot anymore.
Yeah. Sounds like something that they're
in Warpath. Name it.
Yeah. Just like Predacus and Scorponok. I don't know why Scorponok is, they don't have I don't know why they didn't call him Scorponok. X is too far away from K to be a typo, so I want to know what's up with that.
You know, they used the Scorponok name back in 2007 for the Transformers. Well, again in Revenge of the Fallen in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the trademark.
Well, yeah, I mean, even back in Dark of the Moon, I'm pretty sure on the Commander Blackout, it said comes with Scorponok. So, I don't know.
Hmm. The world may never know. New bot shots. Sideburn, I'm pretty sure you want to talk about these.
Yes. So there's some new bot shots. And not only new bot shots, but new styles of bot shots. So apparently there are three new ways that they are going to transform when they crash into each other. And they're calling them flip, jump, and what was the other one? It was flip, jump, and spin. Yeah, so it's flip, jump, and spin shots. And not only that, they have started styling them more like the online interactive BotShots game, which I'm not sure about. I like ideas of new ways that the BotShots transform, but they look a lot different than the BotShots I already have.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I like it because I especially like the Bumble we've seen so far. I think it's one of the flip ones where his fists are like up. They aren't just out like everybody else's. They're like up.
Yeah.
I like that one. I just like the way it looks.
I mean, I like it. It's just it's going to look a little odd sitting next to all my other bot shots. But, you know, I'm going to be all over these. I love bot shots. I've expressed that before.
I'm not seeing the new bot shots. I'm just seeing this SDCC display with all the regular bot shots. I don't see the flip and the spin and the jump.
And they only showed the new Bumblebee design, which is a flip shot. Here, I'll send it to you. Oh, someone probably beat me to it.
That one, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, it has the bumblebee, and it's also the picture from the news article.
Yeah. Aside from that, they also announced a new wave of bot shots that'll be coming out. These are just normal bot shots. There's going to be a Starscream launching base, which is going to be opposite, you know, Ironhide. I was waiting for them to announce another Decepticon because they'd only announced Ironhide at BotCon. I was kind of hoping it would be, you know, Shockwave, but, you know, Starscream, anything to get me buy another Starscream, I guess. There's another Bumblebee with Battle Mask. So now I have to buy another Bumblebee. There's the Megatron that had been released as Chase. He's being released in normal colors. And then there is, what's this guy's name? One of the Wreckers, the green one. I can't remember his name anymore. Yes, Roadbuster. Total brain fart there. And then a Chase Soundwave has also been announced. But yes, yeah, so I don't think they gave a date. Shockwave. Yeah, Chase Shockwave. I don't know about the date of the release of the new styles and the new BotShot style, but
Battle Mask Bumblebee has the movie Bumblebee chest, and the screws are where the headlights would be.
Yeah, that's how it always was, I believe, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
No, on the other Bumblebee, it's not visible.
That is definitely a new chest. Now, even more reason why I have to buy it. I already have 3 Bumblebees. This is going to be another one.
You're going to have a lot more.
Damn you, Hasbro!
I totally wish they would have, you know, if they release this again and just paint that head sculpt blue, I would totally buy a gold bug on that too. Yeah, I'm addicted to bot shots. So,
the first step is admitting you have a problem.
My name is Cyburn, and I'm addicted to bot shots.
Pretty much. I'm definitely looking forward to see how the new styles transform. And I guess Hasbro plans on sticking with this for a while, because to put some money into making 3 new styles definitely shows that it's doing well with the consumer.
Most surely. I mean,
yeah, every time I go in a store, it seems like the bot shots are either sold out or they've only got a handful.
Although yeah. They do seem to be slowing down a bit. I think it's because some of the older waves are they made so many of them. It's kind of like the movie toy syndrome, you know. They sell out of them really quick, and
they restock on wave one. Everybody that need one of those have them.
Yeah, because the stores keep ordering them, saying, "Hey, these are selling really well. Send us more." And the only ones they have available at that time are the first wave or two. And now that the newer waves are coming out, they're starting to plug up the shelves a little more, I've noticed. But yeah, they still seem to be moving. You know, aside from the fun that we had with them at BotCon, I really just don't. I really don't want bot shots. I mean, it's not a knock against them. I guess it's just not what I'm looking for. As a collector, I'm looking more for figures and characters that I can relate to or appeal to me. And, you know, that.
I have one specific purpose for bot shots, which I'll talk about when we get to the Outspy Wallet because I picked one.
Yeah. Fall of Cybertron news. We'll talk a little bit about this. Came out of San Diego Comic-Con. First, we'll talk about the game itself and then some toy-related news with Fall of Cybertron. I guess, Natsume, you and Cyburn want to talk about the video game aspect of it, and then Insane Galvatron and I will talk about the toy side of it. And, well, I guess we can all throw in, but you two would probably know more about the video game side of it than we would.
Okay, so the things, remember how they told us that there were going to be no Dinobots in multiplayer because they were worried about balancing the game and everything? Well, apparently the demand was high enough that they are now going to release the Dinobots and the Insecticons as some form of DLC, sort of a last-minute thing that they're adding as their DLC strategy for when after the game releases. So just like we found out that the European people who pre-order from certain places get multiplayer swoop, apparently all of the Dinobots and Insecticons will be available for multiplayer at some point. No details yet if their parts are going to be interchangeable. I assume not. I assume they're going to be just the skins that you can then change the color on, probably. You know, but probably not the body parts.
The perfect solution for making the Dinobots available in the online multiplayer and not having to worry about balance would have them be a like an escalation mode thing. Where, you know, that's
well,
the only
I'm
way
sure there'll
play.
Be an escalation too.
Yeah,
well, I was thinking that would have been the best way to do them. Like escalation, it's like you have all five Dinobots, so five people can play escalation. Be you know, one person be each Dinobot, and that would be the only characters you use in the escalation, and the only place you could use the Dinobots. That way, they can make them as powerful as they want. You don't have to worry about balance because you're only fighting wave after wave of Decepticon.
Well, you only number one. You only have four players in escalation, so unfortunately,
they could up it to five.
They don't want to, though. That's going to ruin their balance because they base the waves and everything off of four players. They also invented, you know, that new class, quote-unquote, system for escalation to help you beat it, I guess, where now they have – they specifically changed the abilities of the characters from single player to escalation. They're different, and they're specifically related for escalation so that for, say, Megatron and Optimus both have handheld shields so they can take the aggro from the characters. And then Bumblebee and Starscream have the little beacons that they throw down. They're like ammo beacons. And then Shockwave and whoever else, probably Ratchet, has the healing rays. And they can't heal themselves, but they can heal everybody else. So they deliberately have made it so that the characters, basically on the Autobot and the Decepticon side, have equivalents to each other and to certain classes, and they expect you to be able to use them and work as a team to be able to beat all 15 waves. So I assume that they're going to include the Dinobots and the Insecticons in escalation, but I wouldn't get my hopes up in case they don't.
I was just thinking that would have been the easy way to include them without worrying about balance issues. You know, it's not like, hey, you know, somebody could pick Grimlock and they're just going to slaughter everybody else in, you know, team deathmatch. You know, escalation would have been the perfect solution because you're not playing against other players, so it wouldn't matter. But what do I know? I'm not a video game programmer, so.
I was going to say, because it would mess with, because you could, like, it might make the players bad enough at the game so that people would complain about people who picked him just to be him because maybe he's so weak because he can't get out of the way fast enough or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And we're not sure how they're going to introduce them to multiplayer, if they're going to, like, introduce a new class or if they're going to incorporate them into the other classes.
I know for a fact that Swoop is a scientist.
He's probably a scientist, yeah.
He is a flyer. You can see him in the videos that they released.
Okay. Swoop, a scientist.
It's just the name of the class.
Well, are they still called scientists? I think that's the only one that's remained the same, huh? Everything else got a different
name. The other one was changed to, what, Infiltrator, Destroyer, and I can't remember what the tank class was.
Actually, if you go by the original cartoon, Swoop seemed to be one of the smarter of the Dinobots next to Grimlock, so I guess.
I've read fanfic where he's been a medic.
Well, yeah. depending on the Dinobots and questions, you know, which story they're in, I could totally see one of them being the medic for the Dinobots, because, you know, in this, especially in this version, they're not stupid. They're just not capable of showing how smart they actually are.
I think it's just Grimlock. All the others can talk normally.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yep. You watch all the videos. Swoop speaks normally. Snarl speaks normally.
Yeah, they're not stupid.
Slug speaks normally. I hate that name.
Slag.
They can't call him Slag. They don't want to call him Sludge because they actually had Sludge, so they call him Slug.
Are they not calling him...
What?
You guys didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
He is not called Slag because that is offensive. They can't call him Sludge because they already have Sludge, so they just call him Slug.
So they can't call Slag Slag because it's offensive. So apparently, because they use the term Slag as a profanity in the Transformers realm.
No. It's not because either. In the UK, Slag is a pretty much a term for a woman of the night.
Let's go and get us some slag.
I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. That is correct.
So,
and that's why they can't.
It also got me in trouble in high school.
Oh,
as well.
Come on! Don't get all spastic about it now. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just like spastic. I mean, I'm sure that you'll be able to customize some parts of them, like their head at least, and of course their colors. But yeah, you probably can't switch most of their parts around.
Agreed. Well,
yeah.
Hmm.
So there's also a bit of good news for everyone who's anticipating the games. They bumped the release date up 1 week from, what, the 21st to the 18th, is it?
The 28th to the 21st, I believe, or the 26th to the 21st. Okay. I do know that it's now releasing on the 21st. That's about all I know.
Of what month?
Next month.
August. Yeah, correct. August.
So,
right after I graduate, I'm so excited.
Yay! That's a good one for all of us that are anticipating this so much. Maybe not for people who haven't rounded up the money for it yet, but early is always better than later. That means that it has come together good enough that they decided to push it up, where most games are getting delayed lately, so that's a very good sign.
Yeah, and even with the PC release, too, adding that on.
Yeah, it's come out the same day and everything. So
they had a really good buddy. If you pre-order it for my
PC gamers out there, you can pre-order it from GameStop and get Optimus.
I have already pre-ordered from GameStop, so I get Optimus.
Yeah. Well, back when it was announced it was going to be a PC version, they didn't have it up for pre-order yet at GameStop. You do have to have the Steam client.
I was thinking PS3. I just know I get an Optimus because I pre-ordered.
Yeah. So you can go to GameStop, pre-order the PC version, and you'll get Optimus and the guns.
Yay.
And that's pretty much all for Fall of Cybertron game-wise.
Well, I mean, as far as toys go, the big one, of course, is we are getting Grimlock.
Yay.
Yes.
Which they brought back the whole Voyager class size just for Grimlock. You know they did.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we're getting Soundwave and all that, but it was for Grimlock. They could not give us another deluxe Grimlock like they did back in Classics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever they announced the Fall of Cybertron games, and then we knew that we was going to get some Fall of Cybertron figures in Generations, Grimlock was just a no-brainer. I mean, whenever we saw that he wasn't initially announced, especially at BotCon and everything, I'm like, you know, Grimlock is going to come. I mean, how many did they say that we was going to get in Generations? Something like 40-something? 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they only showed maybe half of that at BotCon and here at San Diego Comic-Con. So we know that there's more to come. I think it's...
Hopefully the rest of the Dinobots.
Yeah, I'm personally thinking that it's not unrealistic to think the rest of the Dinobots will be in there.
And the great thing is...
Maybe not as Voyagers, but, I mean...
Well, with the way they did the Jazz and Sideswipe, which is an extensive remold, where it's basically the same toy but it's a different shell on the car, they could do that same thing to get away with doing, you know, Snarl and Slag. Or, I'm sorry, Slug.
Yeah.
Just, you know, give one of them, you know, horns on the head, and then get the other one spikes down his back. It's no more of a reshell than the Jazz Sideswipe thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sludge is the only one that's really... not the same form factor. Yeah,
I would really hope Sludge. I would like Sludge to be a Voyager. I don't see us getting two Voyager, you know, Voyager Dinobots.
I'd like to see us get five Voyager Dinobots, but you know, I think that's begging for too
Swoop,
much.
Swoop could get away with being a deluxe because he's supposed to be smaller.
Yeah, Sludge is supposed to be the largest of them.
You might have to get him at a Voyager size, just get the wingspan right, and then once you transform him, he's going to be short anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, look at the original G1 toys. I mean, they were all Voyager class, I guess, what you would consider Voyager today. It'd be nice to see them as Voyagers, but I don't think that's realistic. But, you know, the fact is that we are getting a Voyager Grimlock. He looks awesome. There are aspects of the figure. I think he could use a little more detail, but I'm not going to complain. He still looks pretty awesome.
And his tail looks awful.
His tail looks pretty awful.
But no one's going to be displaying him in Beast Mode.
Actually, I'm
what's the light up gimmick with his mouth?
That's yeah. Beast Wars coming out of me right there, Beast Mode.
Well, I would display him in Beast Mode in the Dino Mode because my masterpiece Grimlock stays in Dino Mode. So
no, yeah, but you can't display him with the sword or the shield in T Rex Mode, and he looks awesome.
Yeah, but G1 fanboys, we love Grimlock in T Rex Mode. It's like every other G1 on my shelf is in Robot Mode. But my Dinobots are in dinosaur mode, just because it just works.
They're dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because in the show, they spend a lot of time in dino mode, so.
I say I would turn my masterpiece Grimlock into dino mode and keep this in robot mode. Because, you know, masterpiece Grimlock's dino mode looks so much more accurate to the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And the dino mode's just not...
Okay, aside here. I don't mean to interrupt. Aside, speaking about Masterpiece Grimlock in Dino Mode. Okay, do you have him would you pose him in his Season 2 stiff-looking T-Rex, tail-dragging T-Rex pose? Or would you kind of pose him with his, like, hand up to his mouth, kind of like he's thinking about something or getting ready to say something? A la Season 3. You know, kind of like the, you know, how would you display your masterpiece Grimlock?
Probably a tail dragger.
Tail dragger.
I'm going with the more modern take on a T-Rex where his body's kind of flat. You know, the tail and the head are about the same level. Tail up off the ground, head lower. Like a Jurassic Park style.
Yeah.
So neither Season 2 nor 3, even though...
Right, I'm going with the more accurate dinosaur. Even my G1 Grimlock, I display him that way.
He can pull all that off.
Yeah. He's a really awesome figure. But that's a digression. More Fall of Cybertron toy news. Fall of Cybertron Bruticus is getting a repaint as... Insane Galvatron?
It's a retool.
Well, I mean, it's repaint and retool, but...
As the Wreckers, you know, were talking about the comics a little earlier before the podcast started recording, and, you know, the UK comic was where the Wreckers originated. And, yeah, it's kind of neat that we're getting toys of them. I don't know how I feel about them being a Bruticus repaint, remold, and combining. And I think they're just calling the combiner what, Ruination?
Yeah.
Although, I guess it goes back to the whole Wrecking rule.
Yeah, although yeah. I would like to... I don't know if you
ruined now.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the head mold looks a whole lot like Emirate Zeron.
Yeah, the combined mode.
Yeah, I would like to have seen them call the combined mode Zeron.
I have no idea who that is.
If you read the comics, you would.
If you read the comic, you would know.
Yeah. He was... who was he?
I will just say, I mean, for the sake of Guard Convoy, since he cannot be here, he has told me he's very excited about this, and that is one of the reasons why he is buying that toy. It's just because of that head sculpt for the combiner.
Yeah, I love this idea, actually, and I love the Ruination name just because, you know, RID Ruination was a repaint, you know, of the original Bruticus.
Well, actually, one of the reasons why I wanted them to call the combined mode of the Wrecker Bruticus Zeron would be so that BotCon inevitably could reuse this mold and paint them like the RID versions. We could get an RID theme set, and they could actually call that one Ruination. You know, I would like to see that. I think
if it were going to be a BotCon box set with those five molds in the box, they would have to go for the Battle Gaia colors.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, we still have yet to really see a BotCon or TCC theme. I mean, I think the only one we've really gotten that is RID themed is Sideburn.
Well, we got the Scourge coming up from the
G. Oh, yeah, yeah, and
Scourge. Yeah, and Skybite.
Well, I guess. Well, there's three, but I mean, RID just does not get much love.
Unfortunately, though, that's three of the main favorite characters that are already used, so that would kind of defeat the purpose of a.
Well, I mean, if you released Bruticus in Ruination colors, and then, you know, maybe
Generations or Universe Inferno as Optimus Prime.
Yeah, with the retooled head and. You know, maybe I don't know. I mean, there's just so many possibilities they could do for BotCon. You know, like they could have like three of the combiner components in the box set, and then like two Voyagers, and then the other two would be like add-ons. I know people would hate that as collectors, but you know, from a financial standpoint. You know, it would entice people to buy the two packs extra. That way, you know, you'd get the box set, and if you wanted the combiner Ruination, you would have to get the two pack of Armor Hide and Slapper, or you know, for example. I mean, I think that would be a good fiscal plan for BotCon. But, you know, as it is, we're getting the retool of Bruticus as Ruination. So that idea goes out the window, all that supposition. I mean, that's not to say that BotCon couldn't do a Ruination-themed color of this toy, but
They could even call it Ruination if they wanted to. I mean, these are completely different characters. I mean, it's different. You know, the Wreckers are completely different characters from the members of Ruination from RID, so it wouldn't be like they'd be releasing the same toy again. No. It would just have the same name.
Yeah,
maybe spell it
Ruination. These are completely different color schemes too from the RID mold. So yeah, I mean, that would be a good differentiation.
And head sculpts, yeah.
Yeah. Are they doing complete different head sculpts on each figure?
Yes. Yes.
Whirl has the mono eye.
Hmm. Yeah, let's go over.
Twin Twist have Top Spin Twin Twist looking heads.
Yeah.
Impactor has an Impactor looking head. What? Roadbuster has a Roadbuster looking head.
Pretty cool. But as far as Fall of Cybertron goes, I don't recall seeing much more as far as toys go.
Blaster.
Oh yes. Well, is he going to be in Fall of Cybertron as well?
Yes, he's a hold of Soundwave.
I know, but I mean, is Blaster himself going to be
in
the game? Well, I don't even think it's been confirmed that the Wreckers are in the game. These are just toys.
Well, based on the Fall of Cybertron game. Well, yeah, he's getting repaint of he's going to be a repaint and I guess retool of Soundwave. I mean, I saw the head sculpt and it looks so awesome.
And he's got a new chest. Yeah.
Well, and also a different rifle too. I don't know if you noticed, but he has a blaster style rifle as well.
Yeah.
And then the data disks, I guess you could call them, Steeljaw, Eject, Ramhorn, and Rewind, and I guess Sundor.
Yes.
Sundor. I'm missing the.
That was a Kiss player cassette, wasn't it?
Yeah. All I know is that's an actual name. They did not change the name from something else. Sundor is an actual cassette.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it when I first saw it either.
Yeah, it's a Kiss player cassette because you got Glit and Rosanna, and Sundor were the three pack.
Yeah, that sounds right. And yeah, I totally forgot about it. You know, everyone wants to forget about Kiss players.
but you know, looking at the blaster retool, I want it and the Soundwave. I mean, that is a repaint retool that I am totally going to be on board for. They both just look totally awesome, and I will buy all the two packs with all the little data discs, even though they're really simple. The data discs will be released in two packs, the Legend two packs, just like Soundwaves.
So they can charge us $10 for them.
Oh yeah, for little transforming discs.
Yeah, I'll definitely have three. I'm gonna have three versions of that mold because. Yeah, Sound Blaster looks awesome. I like I've always liked Sound Blaster's paint scheme better. So yeah, I'm gonna have all three of those. I'm gonna have. I don't know.
Thing is, will Sound Blaster be able to fit two tapes or two discs?
I don't. Did they say there's room for two?
I think there's three. I think they said at BotCon that like Soundwave can hold three data discs.
No, that so will be cool.
Yeah.
Now, so they auto transform when they hit the ground. You could just sit there and just shoot them out one after another, like boom, boom, boom.
Well, and what's cool is that you can have three in the chest and then one like Laserbeak perched on the shoulder or something other. I think, you know, that's definitely the way I would do that. I really don't think there's that much else on Fall of Cybertron. Can you guys think of that, of anything?
I can't think of much more that was new.
Okay. Toys R Us is getting a few exclusives coming up. A couple of them we already knew about. Well, the first one, of course, is Masterpiece Thundercracker. I guess he's going to be the new mold. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, he is the new mold.
That's what I was hoping.
But he's going to have the first mold extras.
Yeah,
like
because the stand and all that,
and the missiles. Well, I think the big misconception is I know that we've talked about this before how the. You know, this is supposed to be based on the original prototype before it was, you know, the new designer came in and redid the whole thing. But they didn't do a whole new toy. They just did a lot of retooling. Because remember when we first heard there was going to be a new Starscream, pictures showed up of the regular release Starscream with the new gray prototype parts added on. You know, so that they were just doing test shots or prototypes of the new parts. So there really is no old mold, new mold. It's they took the mold they had, they used the first time, and they just changed the tooling. So I think it's just that's the only mold they have now, but obviously the extra accessories are going to be on there. Available to use anytime they want. Well, it's not necessarily that they made a whole new mold. They just did a pretty extensive retool on the one they had.
Well, now all we need is a release of Skywarp because I'm going to be picking this up. I have Sunstorm pre-ordered through BBTS, so I'm going to have. I want to have the three Seekers and Sunstorm. So. Yeah.
Well, you have the Skywarp from the first release.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
You just need the already existing Starscream to have them all.
Yeah.
They just won't all match.
Yeah.
I mean, just as long as I have all all four characters, I'll be happy. But, Toys R Us is getting a number of exclusives. The first editions that so many people were up in arms about last year, the Transformers Prime first editions that were so hard to find and were apparently supposed to be Canadian exclusives or European exclusives and weren't supposed to be released over here, or at least to the extent that they were. We're getting them.
I think they were supposed to be released. It was just one of those deals they couldn't get a retailer to carry them because they were only going to be a couple waves and they were going to have another whole new line. Most retailers have their shelf sets set up where they set the shelves a certain way and they carry that product for so long, and it was going to be too quick of a turnaround, and so nobody took them except a handful of stores. I think they showed up at some Toys R Us the first wave, and then even they quit ordering them because they were gearing up for the Prime R.I.D. line. Because I think that was what Hasbro said, is they just couldn't get retailers for them here.
Yeah, and then they shipped their whole stock to Asia.
Yeah, it's possible that the Asian exclusives, that's the other Toys R Us exclusive. Well, I don't think we can call them Asian exclusives anymore because they won't be exclusive to Asia since Toys R Us will be carrying them here stateside. And the ones that we talked about a few weeks ago, like Wheelie, Generations Wheelie, and Swerve, Hotspot, G2 Megatron, they're all coming to Toys R Us. And I believe if I saw the pictures correctly, they're calling for an October release date, which is prior to the first editions. It's possible that they have the shelf spaces that, you know, the generations, the Asian generations figures will be out in October. Once those are gone, then that same shelf space will be occupied by the first editions, I would assume.
Well, I'm pretty sure they had all these exclusives labeled for the same month.
Oh, do they? Well, yeah. I know November is for the first editions. Let me see if I can find a picture.
I think for November they had the first editions listed, the what they're calling China imports, and the
yes, they are
Year of the Dragon. Oh, okay.
Okay, they are October. They are slated for October.
It must be first editions and that Year of the Dragon Optimus that are for November.
I missed that one. The Year of the Dragon Optimus is coming over here too?
Yeah, the Ultimate Optimus from Dark of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's being released as a Toys R Us exclusive as well.
Well, what worries me is these being Toys R Us exclusives, we never know how many they're going to actually order. This could be the kind of thing where they order a bunch, but it's not nearly enough. You know, a couple waves worth, and then they're gone. A couple restocks. I mean, we've seen Toys R Us exclusives like that before, or they could be the ones where they get a ton in and they just sit on the shelves for months. Because I actually debated putting my Takara first edition bulkhead up on eBay, try to get as much of what I spent on it back out of it, and then just pick this one up at the local Toys R Us, even if they probably charge $30 for it with it being an exclusive. And they're currently charging like $26 for Voyager, so I could see them mark another $4 on that. It would still be a good deal, but I'm too scared that I would not be able to find them. That, you know, they would hit and sell, and they'd maybe only get a couple restocks, and I would just miss them.
They could wind up like the Masterpiece Rodimus at our Toys R Us. They only got maybe two shipments. Yeah, they only got like two shipments of them, and that was it.
Yeah, so I don't want to take a chance on, you know, I prefer that color scheme. And if I do happen to find it, or I'll buy it, it'll just mean I have two of that mold. But I'm not going to get rid of my because if I got rid of my Takara one now, even the prices are still kind of high on eBay, I could probably get my money back. But I'd be too scared of not being able to get this one later, so I'm just going to end up with two bulkheads.
So do we want to say what? So the first editions being released are Optimus, Bulkhead,
the two pack with the three
Viacon, the two pack, and what was it, Viacon, RC. And Terracon Cliffjumper.
And Starscream. Yeah, they're not giving us the regular Cliffjumper, so the first edition Cliffjumper mold is still going to be hard to get hold of as far as the non-Terracon version.
Yeah.
So we're getting the Terracon version of it.
But they're totally screwing over everyone who bought the SDCC exclusive Terracon Cliffjumper.
You know what? I don't feel screwed over because it was only $25 plus shipping, and the deco's different. A lot nicer on it. I don't really care about the box. It just has a lot nicer deco, and the extra piece of dark Energon sticks out of his chest. It looks better. So I don't feel ripped off. Not at all.
I just think some people out there probably do.
It's inevitably somebody's going to.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to.
People get butthurt way too easy.
Yeah. It is a Transformer fandom. I mean,
I didn't buy it, so I'll get the first edition when it's released. I'm glad I didn't spend the money.
Yeah, but I mean, Toys R Us. I mean, they got the mother load of exclusives this year. It appears, although they didn't get them all. BBTS got into the fray with Dark Energon, which will be a subline of the Prime line, and it's basically a slight repaint. Well, I guess retool repaint of the Prime. RID figures with translucent plastic and paint. Anybody want to pick up on this one?
The Knockout is a weird color.
Green. I love them all.
He looks like candy apple to me.
I love them all. I love all the clear plastic and everything.
I'm really liking this line too. I like to call that Knockout the Toxitron Knockout. He totally reminds me of Toxitron.
Oh, yeah, now that you say it, I see it. Wheeljack as Slice. That's cool. And Starscream is in Skywarp colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
And with the clear plastic, it's like those mid warping ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably pick up that Starscream.
Sorry. I was just saying, I knew that Wheeljack was an homage to something, but I couldn't make it out. But it was just eating at me, so...
If you look at robot mode, he's got the red and black on the front of the legs.
Yeah, so what did you say he was?
Slice. Action Master Slice.
Slicer.
Or Slicer. I'm thinking because BotCon, they called him Slice.
Yeah.
Because it was bugging me. I was like, I wanted to ask you guys that. Oh, yes, he's definitely. Because I knew he looked familiar, and I just could not place it.
Okay. Oh, somebody said that the Knockout looks like Wasp. Something because he was the green because he's a green car Wasp, you know, animated Wasp.
Yeah,
before he turns into Wasp and Eater.
I guess the translucents are throwing it off to me. It looks like a lighter green, but
yeah, I don't know. I think that's a bit of a trail.
Wasp had purple on him too. I can kind of see the color palette being close, but
yeah, that Bumblebee. Oh my goodness, I might have to buy another Bumblebee.
Otherwise,
I want them all, man. I love all of them.
I know.
I'm just scared being BBTS exclusives of what the price is going to be. Yeah, I don't know. If they end up like those of Piranacons, they may have to mark them down pretty low just to move them.
They still have those Piranacons, don't they?
Yeah, I think every time they put them on sale for $30, I'm going to add another one to the pile of loot. I'm just going to have like an army of them. Because in Master Force, they pretty much were just like mindless drones. I mean, you had the Centaur bot was sentient, but all the limbs... They were just like, you came wave after wave of them, they'd blow them up and more would just come up out of the water. They were just, you know, innumerable drones. So I can do that on my shelf.
Yeah, this whole line, I think this is the first time, I don't know, that an exclusive line has, well, they've never really done anything like this before, have they? So...
Well, they did the C-Cons, but not a whole line. It was just one release.
Yeah. So this is definitely a very new idea, but very interesting. And I don't know, that Optimus Prime is something about the color palette there. It's just, it looks really nice. And then, you know, your black and purple. He's just got some cool effects. That orange plastic on him like glows like really cool in those pictures. I can't find the pictures. I've lost. Oh, here it is. Yeah, and he's got that really light blue shiny paint and that orange.
No, he doesn't have a faceplate.
Oh, he doesn't, does he?
Yeah, he's got the new head that we saw, the faceplateless head. I know we didn't that turn up in either instructions or something? But didn't we find out there was a face-placeless head, but we didn't know what release it was going to be on?
Huh.
Well, now we found out it's going to be on this one. And he's got like a grumpy-looking face.
Yeah, he does. He looks pretty mad.
Dark Energon Optimus, even though he's like a bright orange.
He should be evil grumpy.
Yeah, I'm curious about the Dark Energon tag and what that has to do with it.
Well, I think it all started probably with the Megatron and the Starscream and everything, and then they were like, hey, let's do it to all the characters. And they just call that part of that's, well, the, thing that's is, what the line is called.
Megatron in the show is already infused with Dark Energon, so he should look just the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the whatever Voyager Megatron we have, and he has that purple plastic, and then, oh, let's give it to, you know, Starscream. And technically, if you want to get technical, since they're in the same continuity, Megatron infused all of his Decepticons, at least Brawl, and who else was with them on that mission?
Barricade.
Barricade with Dark Energon, and that was sort of, you know, what did he call it? You know, Decepticons inherit your birthright or whatever.
You know, I played that level as Megatron, and I didn't realize I had the special ability to, like, hit stuff with Dark Energon. And when I played it as Brawl later, then I got to watch Megatron, like, hitting crap and making Dark Energon, like, grow all over crystals. I was like, oh, that's cool. Could I have done that?
Do that on the doors, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I ever did it when I was actually playing as him. I didn't know I could.
Well, you have to at the end. You can't continue without it. It's pretty much, it's just a special button. It's like use X, like when you're opening a door with any other character, except it just does that special Dark Energon infusion thing.
Maybe I just didn't notice it as much before.
This seems a little bit off, but is it me, or does it, some of these color schemes look G2-ish?
I think it's just because they're so bright because of the translucent plastic.
And then the gold bug definitely got a hit.
Yeah, definitely the gold bug reference.
I didn't really want the Prime until I noticed the different head.
Yes.
Now,
well,
I kind of want it.
I wanted that Prime when I don't know, something about that metallic light blue and the orange and that dark clear red is just working for me. I don't know.
Oh, I'm right now leaning towards Skywarp as a definite. Wheeljack and Knockout are really strong maybes. And then after that, I'm not real sure. Prime will probably be next on the want list, followed by Bumblebee and then Megatron. I don't know if I'll get those or not.
Did we talk about a price on these? Has there been any price?
I don't think so. That's the biggest thing I'm holding off on. I did mention that, you know, since they're getting the exclusive, they'll probably have so many of these, they'll be like the C-Cons. They'll end up half of whatever they start out at in a few months.
Yeah, right now all they say is pre-orders beginning soon. Pricing will be announced at that time.
Yeah, I just figure when the pre-orders go up, I'll just add like 10,000 to the cart and then, you know, see how many it gives me so I know what they've got in stock. If they have several thousand, like the C-Cons, then I'll just hold off to the going clearance. Because, I mean, you pay $60 for the C-Cons when they first came out. Right now you can get them for $33.
Yeah, but
if there's only a few hundred, then you may want to go and snatch them up.
Yeah, I think there's more demand for these Prime figures than those C-Cons.
Just keep watching the in-stock quantities. if they're dropping really rapidly, then go ahead and buy them.
I guess it's not exactly San Diego Comic-Con news. Believe it or not, I believe we burned through that already. But it is still a little bit more news. The fact that Hasbro is signed with Shout Factory for Rescue Bots and Hub content. Natsume, you want to talk about that?
Well, probably Sideburn would be better for it. He reminded me of it, but I guess I'm the Rescue Bots fan here. They've signed up with Shout Factory for them to do all of the disc versions of, say, Rescue Bots, My Little Pony.
There you go, Greg.
G.I. Joe.
I'm not a brony.
So when and if we get the discs, it will be coming out with Shout Factory. So I'm excited.
Shout Factory seems to be doing a pretty good job with stuff. I know they did an excellent job with Prime and I guess the G1, the original G1 series, although I haven't actually seen them myself, but I've read fans' reactions and it seems to be a positive one.
I've got the Matrix box and it's awesome.
Yeah, they did a great job with the Beast Wars sets and the Transformers Prime sets, so I'm definitely looking forward to anything else coming out from them. really crossing my fingers for animated season 1 through 3.
Yeah, I think I would be on board for that too, since I actually stopped watching animated halfway through the first season, simply because I didn't have cable access at that time and wasn't able to download or anything. Well, I had internet access, but I just didn't have the time to download the episodes. So there's still quite a bit from animated that I have not actually seen.
Yeah, I have season 1 and 2 on DVD already. I just really want season 3, but if they end up releasing it as a box for it all, I will buy it just to get the last season, to get season 3, because it was a really good show. I may have not cared for the aesthetic of the toys because they were a little too cartoon accurate for that art style, but you know, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
You're not gonna get the box set for, because hopefully that means that they will release it widescreen, you know, Blu-ray.
Oh, then I guess I would get the whole box set then.
For all, especially since they're showing it on the hub and widescreen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the reason why people are hopeful that we're going to get season 3 released. Because now, you know, we didn't get it before because of the whole thing with Cartoon Network and then Hasbro starting their own channel. It was like a licensing thing, but I guess Hasbro's done what they had to do to get that from Cartoon Network, because they're airing it now. So
yeah,
it means hopefully we can get the DVDs. You know, it's like printing money. They need to go and just make those discs.
Mm-hmm. It's made me hopeful.
And, you know, maybe Shout Factory will do that. This new deal. Is it just a deal with the hub to where they can just do pretty much any hub show?
Yeah, it's I can't remember how many years. It might be like a 10-year deal or something like that. I might be talking about my butt, though. But for all hub shows, they listed, you know, Renegade, G.I. Joe Renegade, Rescue Bots, Prime, My Little Pony, all of them.
Now, I know the Renegades, there's already a DVD set out. I'm assuming Shout Factory did those, didn't they?
Well, sure. I mean, I know there's the Real American Hero from the 80s DVD Shout Factory put out, but I don't know about the new series.
Now it's time for Ouch My Wallet!
This week's Ouch My Wallet, we'll begin with Insane Galvatron. You want to tell us what you got this week?
Yeah, I picked up a couple of things. I don't think we recorded last week, so it's been 2 weeks, so I actually have 5 things to talk about. I'll start with the most recent and work my way backwards. I actually picked up just the other day the New Generations line. I actually hit it at our Toys R Us. Went in there, Daron, you went in there and found the toy, and there was only 2 figures, the same figure, two copies of the same figure. You bought one, hid one for me. I went back later and got it. It's the Fall of Cybertron Jazz.
Yeah, I'm playing with it right now.
Yeah, I have to say, I was more impressed with it than I expected to be. I mean, it has its flaws. Don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect figure, but it's one of the few I've bought in recent years that I just enjoyed transforming. You know, just going back and forth, arc to robot.
And what in the crap was that?
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I have the sound turned way up because I had to turn Skype down, and I've been doing research for Fall of Cybertron stuff, and so I try to get the videos muted beforehand, but I can't always do it before they load.
I guess you're looking up a video game as, you know, trailer as I'm talking about a video game for Transformers. Is that what's going on?
I'm just looking at all the Fallout Cybertron videos we got from SDCC, and that's their bumper at the beginning is like a and normally it's not so bad, but I had the sound up way high.
Okay.
All right. So Jazz, fun toy. I think Daron, you got him too, right?
Yeah, I'm actually messing with mine right now. He's so awesome. The car mode, I can't say enough about the car mode. It's so awesome.
I mean, I was really pleasantly surprised. I mean, yes, the toy is smaller than Deluxe's used to be, and yes, it does feel a little lighter, like it doesn't have as much plastic, or plastic's a little thinner, but...
I'll talk about my gripes about it. I do have some gripes about it. I'll talk about those whenever I get to my Ouch My Wallet. But overall, I will say that I am pleased with the figure. I do agree.
He locks together real solid. Everything pegs in. You know, he's pretty simple to transform, but yet satisfying at the same time. you know, I mean, it's one of the most a pleasant surprise. I was not expecting him to be as nice as he was. I guess it's probably part of the reason I like him so much. I had low expectations.
Lowered expectations.
But okay, but going backwards, before that, I received a G1 Retgar in the mail that I bought off eBay. No weapons, but he has, you know, his front wheel, both tires, you know, the sort of the robot mode is a whole. I'm going to try to modify him so that he can actually sit on another Retgar. That's the whole reason I want to pick up a second one, just so I can have Retgar riding Retgar. Really nothing spectacular to say there other than it's a vintage Retgar. And then I picked up a couple toys around the same time for a Kit Bash. Because I noticed how much Prime Hotshot looks like Nightbeat. So he just needs a little more yellow. And somebody had mentioned to me that you could swap out some parts with Bumblebee so that he'd have more yellow on him. And so as much as I did not want to buy this toy because I already had the first edition, which was superior, I bought a Prime already Bumblebee just so I could take like the thighs and the arms off and put them on Hotshot. And then that brings up the Botshot I mentioned earlier that I bought. I bought Botshot's top spin because he has a good head. They're a good size for deluxe figures, and his head looks like Nightbeat's head. It just needs the guns on the side and the yellow paint on the face. And, of course, you got to do some work because it's hollow on the back to actually be attached to the toy, which I haven't done yet. So I bought a Botshot and then proceeded to disassemble him and then Dremel because the chest and the head are one piece. So I had to like Dremel his chest off of his head. So I destroyed a Botshot within 5 minutes of opening it.
You murderer.
Oh, but he's going on to be bigger and better things. His head will be on a Prime Nightbeat. And then lastly, the first thing I got out of all this haul was I got the Siam's Corp Minerva. That's the giant, I don't know how you describe it.
Doll.
It's not a doll. You can't brush its hair or change its clothes. It's an action figure.
You can change its clothes by changing its pieces. So it is a doll.
It does not have any additional pieces. It's other than the hands.
The hands and the face and the...
That's not clothes. Since when are your hands and your face part of your clothes?
It's a doll.
It's not a doll. It's an action figure. And
it's a 12-inch doll.
No, it's an action figure. To be a doll, it has to have one of two features, either brushable hair or changeable clothes. This has neither. It's not a doll.
Okay, so you play with a G.I. Joe from the 60s.
This is no more of a doll than my 6-inch Iron Man figures that I buy. You know, it's made out of plastic, posable joints. You can't change the clothes or brush the hair. It's no different.
Okay.
But I like
it because... Watch My Little Pony and buy dolls. Okay.
I wanted it because I like Master Force. It's a different, interesting take on Transformers. Minerva's one of the main characters in there. Plus, you know, she was the repaint of Nightbeat. We never got that in those colors in the U.S., so that's a lot of the reasons I wanted it for that. And, you know, she's very posable. She does a lot of the parts. We'll just pull apart. The way the joints are on this toys is it's basically just a peg and a hole, no ball joint. So things you can just literally pull her into pieces if you wanted to. You know, if you're trying to pose her and you do too much twisting, the pieces will work loose. You got to push them back together. But, I mean, I've already had a lot of fun with her without opening her, just putting her in different poses and had her slapping other robots around. And, you know, she's got a backpack on her back that comes off. It's like the head of the giant robot, and it transforms. Yeah, she's really neat. I mean, some people say she's probably not worth the price. You've got to really like Minerva to be worth it because she is around $100. I got her from HLJ, so
I think that mostly comes from people who buy like Guard, you know, the Figmas and stuff like that. They usually are the harshest critics on that. I'm sure as a Transformers collector, if that's all you collect, you're not going to care because you're not used to buying anything that's, I guess, of higher quality. Mm-hmm. For something like that, so that's just people who collect more things. They have an opinion that varies from the right. average
they'll,
guy.
They'll compare it to the Figmas and things and talk about how much worse it is or something.
Well, I've looked at it. I'm not much on figures like that. I'm more along the lines of transforming Transformers, which is why I didn't particularly care for the Action Masters in G1. I know that I've said that time and again, and I've said it again. But I looked at this figure when you brought it in here the other day, and it does look impressive. I mean, I see Minerva in it. Does it appeal to me personally? No, I don't I don't personally feel that it's worth $100, but at the same time, I can see how it would be appealing. And it is very aesthetically pleasing as as for what it is. And seeing, like, GogDog on TFW 2005, he has posted some really amazing pictures with this figure. You know, not being a huge Figuart fan as it is, I really don't see any problems with it. But like I said, I'm not a critic by any means of that,
well, see,
that
type I don't, of
figure.
I mean, I prefer my Transformers transform as well, but I don't hate Action Masters. And yeah, it doesn't transform, but even if it did, it would just turn into a giant head. And you know, I just then capturing the character, the way she looks on screen, and I was really impressed with the way they did the joints on this toy. You know, I mean, it's like you can't really see the hip and shoulder joints when you pose it around. It doesn't look like it has joints, but it does. They did a really good job of hiding those as far as the way they engineered them in. And like I said, you still can kind of transform the backpack. You know, I mean, because like I said, she would turn into a giant head. Well, you pop the thing off, transform it, boom, you cut your giant head. So it does
have that.
Yes, it does have that. So it does have some transforming feature. But yeah, that's all I got for the last couple weeks.
Did you say something about Energon?
Oh, yes, I actually forgot. Yes, I did. I got, because I think that was probably the oldest thing. I got it right after our last recording. I got the Grimlock and Swoop, the two that combine into the giant goofy-looking robot. saw them on the message board. Somebody had them in their for sale thread, only wanted like $25 for them shipped for the pair, and they looked to be mint or near mint. So I'm like, sure, I have a Dinobot shelf, and I don't have those two, and I can stick them on there. And so, yeah, I got those. They're pretty unspectacular.
Very.
You know,
although I forgot how unspectacularly cool they are, though.
They're unspectacular, but they're kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're simple. They're almost, you know, I forgot how almost preschool, I guess, is the best way to describe them for me. The Armada, Energon, and to a lesser extent Cybertron figures always had this like junior feel to them for me. I mean, they just seemed like they were almost preschool-esque in their design. And
they felt like toys instead of action figure collectibles.
Yeah, never used an instruction sheet back in those times.
Yeah, I mean, Grimlock and Swoop, they had very G1-esque transformations, but they were very
well, I think,
overly blocky, I guess.
Yeah, because especially the Grimlock, it seems like all his where should be edges are very rounded, and so he does have that very. Because remember, they had the preschool robots back then. They called them GoBots.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very GoBot feel to him. Not 80s.
Almost all of those era figures.
Oh, but these are worse. I mean, I've you know, these guys. I mean, because I've got like Energon Rodimus, and you know, yeah, these two, they're the most preschool of anything in that line.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm not by any means, you know, dissing all three lines and stuff, especially Cybertron. Personally, one of my all-time favorite figures is the Cybertron Optimus Prime. You know, with the big super mode and everything, that is one of the most impressive Prime figures that I've ever seen, in my personal opinion. It's right up there, I think, with the masterpieces. I mean, I'm not saying it is a masterpiece, but it's right up there in the coolness level, in my opinion. But for the most part, you know, a lot of the aesthetic of those era toys just do not appeal to me. I guess I know I'm hating on them too much, but
yeah. But hey, like I said, I only got them because they were cheap, and I have a Dinobot shelf.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted them.
Yeah.
Energon sucks. But we'll move on. I guess I'll do my ouch my wallet since it'll be rather small.
That's what she said.
I have. I didn't pick up very much the last couple weeks. I've been working a lot, which is in large part why the podcast has been so sporadic as it's been released. I did pick up the Fall, or, you know, the Fall of Cybertron Jazz, as Insane Galvatron mentioned a while ago. I will say, overall, like I said, I'm really pleased with the figure. I like the way it looks. It's fun to play with, fun to transform. It's got some excellent detail on it. I must say that the paint, I really dig the shiny paint that's on it. It is very reminiscent of the Japanese United figures, especially on the head and everything. It's got that metal-esque blue look, the sheen look to it. But the things that I don't like about it, I'm not going to sit here and gush about the figure without saying some of the caveats about it. It does feel, as I hold it, it feels thin and cheap. I mean, by thin, I don't mean that it's like rubbery in feel or anything like that. I just feel like the plastic is thinner than I would expect, and it is very light.
It also has less metal as far as pins and things. Like the way the wheels are connected, they usually will be, you know, like they got a hole in them with a big metal pin stuck through. Well, they kind of did a clip-in system where they had like a little peg sticking through and it kind of snaps in on the wheel.
I noticed that. There's that I can see on it. There's one, two, three. I see three screws on the whole toy, and maybe two pins, two or three pins.
Which is very few for a deluxe size
figure. Yeah, so they did a lot of cost-cutting measures on this toy. But that being said, I'm very pleased with it. I don't hate it at all. I'm glad I found it and picked it up. And I recommend it to anyone who is looking to pick up the Prime figures. I mean, not the Prime figures, but the Fall of Cybertron figures. I'm eagerly looking forward to Shockwave and Prime and the rest. And like Insane Galvatron said, he in his car mode, which is the mode that I have him in now, he is pegged together rather nicely. And I don't know if you can hear it on the mic right now, but I can shake him rather vigorously, and he doesn't flop and feel loose. Yeah, he doesn't flop and feel loose and go all over the place. And his weapon pegs in nicely on the top of the roof and on the or on the side of the car. I kind of prefer it on the top of the roof. I wish that there was a way to kind of hide it inside the car. That way he just doesn't have a weapon at all.
Game, they have guns enough to top the shoot with.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. So I'm not really... It's not like a huge rifle. It's just a little pistol, so it's... it's fine the way it is. And he does reminisce of Jazz. So... I can actually see the sideswipe repaint in this too. I can see how it would look like sideswipe. So I plan on picking that one up as well. As far as other figures I picked up in the last couple weeks since our last recording, I don't think I've actually picked anything else up. I have, but I do not have them in my possession yet, so I'm not going to talk about them until I get them. I will just say, stay tuned.
Now, let me guess, you paid for a Captured Prey order?
Yeah, I paid for a Captured Prey order. I haven't received it yet, and then there's one other small item I paid for, but I'm going to kind of throw that as a micro surprise for the next podcast. Something to look forward to. That's about it for me. Sideburn, do you want to say anything?
Well, I didn't get anything, but I just remembered I had been in negotiations with a friend of mine for a while. He was selling off his Beast Machines collection, and even though I am not a big fan of Beast Machines, I still want, some of the figures just because it's in the Beast Wars, Beast Machines universe. And I had bought some figures in the past from this friend. He gave me a good deal. I got like 32 Beast Wars figures for $75.
Wow.
Yeah.
You wound up paying $75 for all of them?
For 32 Beast Wars figures.
Okay.
I finally came to an agreement with him. He's got about 24 Beast Machines. He had some Beast Wars figures left over that he didn't want to part with then, but he's, you know, downsizing, only focusing on Generations now, so he's going to throw those in with the Beast Machines figures. So I think it's around 30 figures again, and we settled on a price of $70. So I'm gonna have some stuff coming at some point. Just had to finalize, not next week. Just had to finalize on how we're gonna ship it. I have a friend that lives in Ocala that lives near this guy, so I might have him pick it up and bring it down to Orlando at some point. So we still have to work that out, but yeah, $70, and I'll have a good 30 figures to talk about at some point in the future.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are good deals, like $2 a figure. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's me. You want to tell us about anything you picked up?
Yes, I think I haven't been on since SavCon, and I actually got one figure since SavCon. On the way back, our group of Mirai, Velocity, Guard Convoy, and myself, ironically, we were in a convoy. Mm-hmm. on the way back, we were all the way back almost to Texas. We were in Louisiana, I believe, right near the border in wherever that one place is. And we stopped at... Yeah, no, no. Something else.
You've said on the border.
It's a big one. It's a big one. Anyway... we stopped at one of the Walmarts just saying, you know, what the heck? And we actually stopped at, like, a Target, too, and a bunch of other things. But this one particular Walmart, we stopped there, and they had the new Transformers Prime playsets with the driller and the jackhammer, whatever they call it on the toy, something else hammer, star hammer. And so they had, like, three of them, and we almost bought them all. I ended up splitting the price with Velocity so she could get the knockout and I could get the driller, because she didn't want the driller and I didn't really particularly care about the knockout because I don't have any Cyberverse figures anymore. I gave what little I had away in Transform-y, and I love this little figure, this playset so much. It's on my desk and I play with it daily, and ever since I found out it had all kinds of these little clips and just whole ports for guns, I've started removing all of my Human Alliance Basics weapons and started weaponizing this thing. And I haven't finished weaponizing it yet because it's got just that many clips and ports on it in little places where you can hook stuff up.
That driller looks so cool. And it's totally got to be the best version of Knockouts, that Legends figure. It looks so much better than the Deluxe.
I don't know about that, but I do agree that it, out of all the Cyberverse playsets, the driller is probably the most appealing to me, because it was featured prominently in a couple episodes of the show, so I'd really like to have one. But, you know, it's not one of those high priority things. I've seen it a few times in local Walmarts, and you know, like I said, there's always something else that I'm looking for, and money's been a bit tight lately, so I'm just not really chomping at the bit to get it. But it does look really cool. How about the awesome light up gimmicks on it?
I really don't care for it. I mean, I would rather be without. I'm one of those people who I like the leader figures, but I would be so much happier if they got rid of all the electronics in those. Since I don't have any Cyberverse, I couldn't use it for that, but you can plug it in to, the drill. The actual drill doesn't work very well, but you can actually plug it in there and it'll light up the inside of that. And since I have the Voyager, Starscream, and Megatron, I actually just transformed Megatron, so I can't do it as I'm speaking. But in the back of his chest, he has that thing where in jet mode, it holds his cannon. And in robot mode, it sort of plugs into his back, and you plug in the light there, and it shines through his chest to that purple clear plastic on the front. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I haven't found... Starscream doesn't have anything nearly as cool. Even though he has the, like I mentioned the one time in the one podcast, that he has the light that shines through his chest just because he has the cockpit on the back and everything. There is no port back there that I know of. I just found it right behind. That's what that's for, I think. Sort of a tough plug. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It lights. Oh, my gosh. Yes, there is. Okay, there is a port on the back of Starscream, and it lights up his Decepticon logo in that red. Just oh, like, nice. Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. The only port I knew of was the ones on his arms, because, you know, they're clear plastic, too.
Gosh darn you. You make me want to get that thing now.
Oh my gosh. Now that I've just found out about that, I'm just going to leave this thing plugged in. I'm going to have to find a way to, like, keep the light on.
Well, Duran, I think the weapons they come with that light up will stick in that same hole and light it up.
Yeah, but I mean they're not all that great. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Yay! I'm so excited. It's not perfect because there's actually like a gap with his neck there, and it sort of just shines through like red. But if you look low enough at it, you can see the Decepticon logo. It's not even a Decepticon logo, but you know it goes there. In his chest, and it shines that up red. So that's really cool. I'm going to turn off my light.
I wonder how well that would work with the Megatron with his purple plastic.
Well, it's sort of a reddish purple. On this one, I think his plastic is clear enough that it pretty much shows up red. On Megatron's, it's sort of a reddish purple.
Well, that's okay. I want it to glow purple. I just want it to light up better than what his little weapon does.
Yeah, his weapon is sort of, because it doesn't really aim at it. It doesn't really go to it. It's just sort of in the back there.
Yeah.
Which I found it actually works best if you have him in vehicle mode, you plug in his cannon, and you take apart his chest pieces, and then you transform the weapon. It actually shines on his head in just the right angle that it will light up his eyes in a really cool bright red.
Nice.
It's just at that right angle.
I know we spoke briefly with Guard Convoy in our last recording about SavCon. Now, you attended SavCon with him. What are your thoughts on SavCon and some things that you took away from the con, your thoughts?
Well, since I didn't get to be at that podcast, I hope I don't reiterate anything he said. But it was fantastic for their first convention. And for a small convention, it was absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed all the time that we were able to spend there. And since we did have a long drive, we didn't get to spend a whole bunch of time. We had about probably 48 hours in total there. We had a little bit of time on Friday. We had all of Saturday and then a little bit of time on Sunday morning. And I spent most of the time actually manning the trans costumers booth, but it was just, I don't think I could have done any better, except maybe to have been able to go watch the costume contest, because everyone says that was such a riot. And the dealer hall absolutely emptied out. That was the only time during the convention that the dealer hall was absolutely dead, was because everyone was going to watch the costume contest, which apparently was a big hit.
Very nice.
Yes, so I got to, you know, manning the booth. We had the robot god Akamatsu guy on the left, and we had another toy dealer at our right, and he was kind enough to lend me his power strip so I could actually use my hot glue gun to fix up Brawl during the weekend while I was manning the booth. So everybody was really kind. All the staff at SavCon, even before we ever got there, just before when we were lining up the booth and everything, they're all great, compassionate people. They will go out of their way to help you get everything what you need. They're very kind. They are very service-oriented people. I don't know how to say it. It's when you ask them about something or when you ask them to do something, they never give off the air that they aren't doing this because they don't love it. Their response is always one of, you know, absolutely fantastic, I'll be happy to do that for you.
You know, that's sadly missing in a lot of today's major conventions. I think we all know what we're talking about. And it's something that's missing that desperately needs to be there. And it's so refreshing to hear that, you know, there was such a successful convention that, you know, though small, you know, it's it was put on by people who truly love this fandom that we have here, and are passionate about these toys that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what we collect is basically toys. We are fans of a cartoon or a comic, whichever you prefer. And a lot of people look at what we do as dumb and totally inconsequential. You know, why do we do it? We do it because it's something that we like and that we enjoy it and we love it. And that's why we go to conventions. That's why we talk about it on these podcasts. It's why we go out and spend money on these toys, is because it's something that we enjoy. And whenever you get a convention that is put together by people who love what we do, and I use TFCon as an example, as a great example. Look how successful TFCon is and how great a convention it is. I don't hear anything bad about TFCon. And why? It's because everybody knows the guys that run the convention are fans just like we are. They're not fans of something else that are doing it just because they have the license. You know, and I, you know, I might be shooting myself or ourselves in a foot by saying this, but you know, it's 100% true. I mean, you get, just because you have a license and just because you have the backing of the company itself that produces these toys doesn't mean that you are passionate about these toys, because whenever you constantly have fans complaining and showing distrust, I mean, I really don't distrust the club myself. I have not been ripped off by the club. Because I wasn't in with that that credit card scam thing. You know, I was not affected by it personally, because I had changed all of my information in that time, and I just was not a member of the club, so it did not affect me. But seeing as what you know, as an outsider of the situation, and I know I'm going off on a long tangent on this, and I hope people understand what I'm saying when I'm saying this, but whenever the club handles a situation the way they did and the way they are, and taking the club store down and the and everything for so long, and it's still not back up as of this recording, And basically, you know, they put it up for a little while for a test, and it's a live test. You know, people just genuinely going to the site and seeing, hey, I can order something, and they order it, and then only to have a day or so later have their order canceled and then berated via email because they placed an order during a test. Well, how were they supposed to know it was a test? They went to the website and saw that a product that they wanted was available. What right do you, as a company, have to belittle your fans and everything? And I know I'm going off on a long tangent on this, and it's a side, but it's just really refreshing to hear of a convention like SavCon that is put on by people who love it, yet we constantly hear people going to a official convention hearing a lot of complaints and stuff. Have they gotten too big? Maybe. I don't know if that's the actual problem. I think there's actually a more deep-rooted problem. But
I think it goes back to what you said about a convention being run by people who love the franchise.
Yeah.
And, you know, BotCon, be it official, the guys running it are primarily G.I. Joe fans. You know, Transformers is just a cash cow to make money, and I think that's why it suffers. They're not Transformers fans running it.
And that's true. But you know, even if they have Carl Hartman, we know he's a Transformers fan, but he's not actually at the helm of it. I mean, right. He is an advisor. And I'm sure a lot of the cool, great things that we do get come from him.
Because of that, yeah.
Yeah. I would almost, I'm not, you know, placing it solely on him. I don't know if he's the one behind it, but I suspect he may be one of the ones that is behind us getting Big Convoy as Ultra Mammoth. The Generations Reveal the Shield G2 Prime is Scourge. You know, I suspect he has a lot to do with that. And a lot of these characters that we're getting as exclusives, you know, I wouldn't expect G.I. Joe fans to know about them. So, you know, where are they getting this information from? I would suspect Hartman.
Yeah, there are Transformer fans that are employed there to help out with some of the decisions on doing those kind of things. But most of the problems we have with the club are customer just funding relations. Issues. Well, yeah, they just don't want to, you know, fork over the money to get a good secure website going. They don't want to give PayPal any, you know, portion of the cut with your PayPal fees to accept PayPal. And, you know, it's just because, like I said, when they're just in it for the money, so they want to spend as little as possible. And, you know, they've hired people like Carl and a few others that know Transformers, so they can kind of they're the creative ones that come up with, they're trying to come up with the guests and with the toy themes and all this stuff. But ultimately, when it comes down to the problems they're having, is because they don't want to spend money. And they don't want to spend money because they don't care about the franchise. It's just there to make money, you know, because Transformers is the bigger franchise than G.I. Joe. So they got the Transformers franchise to make money to fund the G.I. Joe convention. And, you know, so when it comes to, there's probably things they want to do to fix the problems that the Transformer fans are there, but they're not the owners of the company, you know. And ultimately that's where the axe comes down and says, nope, sorry, we're not spending money on updating the website. This is good enough. We'll get through.
Yeah.
Because that's most of the problems are from the financial end. You know, they just don't want to spend the money to make things better.
Well, and I didn't mean to totally hijack your review of SavCon, Natsume, but you know, just mentioning how great a time you had at the con and how nice people were and so helpful about that just seemed. It just rang so loudly with me, you know, after, you know, BotCon was what, not even a month and a half, 2 months ago, and we went there and we saw firsthand a lot of these things that that people are talking about and complaining about, and, you know, some of them happened directly to us, and, you know, just hearing about what happened with at SavCon as a positive experience, I think it, you know, even though it is not as big a convention as BotCon or TFCon, conventions like SavCon and SlagaCon can do really well because of their their fan orientation, and it's. it's very, very pleasant and refreshing to see. Let's bring it all back in. And is there anything else you wanted to tell us about the experience at SavCon? I'm sorry again about hijacking it. I just thought it was relevant to and tangent to what we were saying. So
no, it helps me. It helps, you know, put a stark contrast against what a great time I had at SavCon, where at BotCon it's just sort of this average sort of fun time that we're just sort of used to having, and we settle for it because they have Hasbro and everything else. And I think that it's going to become now, especially with TFCon, Hasbro has stated that they are no longer doing that panel there, right? Because they are selling third-party vendor stuff, right?
Yeah, but they're still going to be there.
They're still going to be there, but they aren't going to have the panel. They aren't going to do all kinds of stuff. So I think it's going to become even more so that one of the few reasons we go to BotCon is to, go to the Hasbro panel. But even then, we get so much more stuff at SDCC. You know, why would you go to BotCon besides the toys? And then you could say, well, you can just get the Iacon package or whatever, where you just get the toys.
Then you got to get the attendee exclusives off eBay for an extreme markup.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, and as it is with any smaller convention, it's so much easier to speak with the guests. So as for SAFCON, you know, I was pretty much manning the booth all weekend. But before I left on Sunday, I made it a point, before we cleared out our booth, I walked over to the guest booth, and I shook everybody's hand, and I got to talk to them all one-on-one. I have never, in any past convention, have I ever bothered to go meet with the guests before, either because I wasn't interested or the line was so horrendous. Is like, I would probably be interested in meeting Peter Colon, but I'm not interested in dealing with the line that comes with that, or in this case now, the random thing, the roulette, you know.
Yeah. If you enjoy that atmosphere, then I highly recommend SlagaCon. I mean, it's small. It's even smaller than the way SavCon was described last year. I mean, SlagaCon was small, but I mean, heck, Insane Galvatron and I and a couple other guys, we stood and talked to Gary Chalk for over 30 minutes. You know, just standing around shooting the breeze with him. And he's so awesome. I mean, you couldn't do that generally at BotCon. I mean, there's so many people there. You know, you might be able to go up and say hi, you know, my name's so and so, nice to meet you, you know, and he may have enough time to say hi too, and you might stand for 2 or 3 minutes and talk. But, you know, I mean, we stood for over 30 minutes and talked about various subjects with Gary Chalk, you mm-hmm. know, and it was
and
just...
And then had to record sound clips and make videos.
Yeah.
And even before that, he was outside, went outside to smoke, and I ran into him out there. I went to the car to get some stuff, and he was just standing there. And I stood and talked to him outside there and got my picture taken with him for probably a half an hour before he came in, and we sat around in a group talking some more.
And we ate pizza with Gary Chalk, you know, I mean,
but the coolest thing ever when you sent me that video. That just made my day.
And the Weeble shall wop.
Glad you enjoyed it, man. But I mean, you know, SAFCON, SlagaCon, you know, they're small conventions, and I hope people listening don't write them off as something that, oh, they're too small, they're too small fry. It's not worth flying halfway across the country to go to. No, they are. They are, simply
for reasons
like that.
It was worth our 20-hour drive minus stops, you know. That was probably including stops. It was probably closer to 18-hour drive, and then, yeah. But, yeah, it was worth us spending just as much time driving as we did at the convention, not only for the trip with my friends, which is one of the reasons, obviously, that we go to any convention with other Transformers fans, is to, you know, meet up with other Transformers fans. So we got to do a convoy, you know, across half the country. We got to stop at toy stores, and I got to find the driller, and, you know, people got knockout. And then you get to the convention, and you know everybody by the end of the convention. Even if the convention is only a day or two long, you will know everybody at the convention.
Yeah.
And you will get to speak with all of the guests. And like I said, the staff there, we had a booth with trans costumers. They came, they checked up on us. They made sure that everything was all right, that we didn't need anything. I cannot gush enough. And then something else I wanted to touch on was that if – I found this sort of ironic. Remember how we had that talk about costuming and how everybody felt differently about, you know, Transformers fans costuming and how it was a little bit awkward and everything. I should mention that a lot of the people who helped out majorly with SavCon are well-known costumers in the fandom. Specifically, they had actual trophies for the costume contest. And they were fantastic, and they were made by... like I said, the other costumers who were the ones who held the costume contest. So it's not that BotCon isn't capable of any of this stuff. It seems more like they simply have sort of settled for what they have. I really think that one of the reasons that BotCon is what it is just because they have settled, that they are sort of happy with being where they're at.
Yeah.
It's not
pretty much this is what you get, and this is the amount of effort we're willing to give.
Yeah. only sad thing about SavCon for me, which I wouldn't even call it sad because I don't even think about it until I get to thinking about SavCon for a long time, is that High Moon Studios was unable to make it. And again, Sean, who created SavCon and is the one who was checking up on me with the booth and everything, made sure we had everything we needed. He knew that I was very excited about meeting High Moon, and I had brought, War for Cybertron Brawl costume, and I was hoping to...
Which was awesome, by the way.
Which I was hoping to show to them in person, and they were unable to make it. He let me know that they said that they couldn't make it because they were finishing the game. And I personally will call foul on High Moon for that because I honestly don't believe that you can't send some people to go represent you at, a small... If you can bother to do BotCon and E3 and all these other things that you have said you will go to, why can't you make this event that you said you would go to? You don't even have to bring, the latest demo. You can bring the same one that you had at BotCon, or you guys can just be there to answer questions, just have, your computer there to set up your pre-orders for the few people who haven't pre-ordered yet, and then just be there and mingle with the fans, And I was mostly upset, again, with just High Moon for that. But it is what it is, and I'll assume that for some reason they maybe didn't plan well enough, or because they pushed the date up, they didn't account for, SavCon or something.
They were probably in deep preparation for SDCC. It's probably the more likely candidate.
Yeah, well, it's like you knew that SDCC was coming up. It's like, did you not plan for that beforehand?
A lot of times they get those demos ready, a few weeks before the convention.
I know, but really, do you need the creative director to be present at the studios to probably give the go-ahead for that? I mean, you didn't have to even send the creative there. I'm sure that they had some small fry guy that they could, give certain information to. They could just send him there to be their liaison to the fans, just to be there and represent. I guess maybe they said, we can't afford to send this many people, therefore we won't bother to go at all. Maybe it's not going to be worth it.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I don't even remember. I had such a good time at SavCon. I don't even care that they didn't show up. I don't even think about it until I really get started thinking about SavCon, and I'm like, oh, that's right, High Moon was supposed to be there. And then I remember the conversation we had. They did send them a poster that they auctioned off on Sunday. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be there for the auction because we had to leave by noon, and it wasn't until 5 on Sunday. But it was a really big, cool-looking poster. They had a whole bunch of other cool things, too.
I'm definitely going to keep an eye on SavCon because, geographically it's close.
They already announced one of their guests for next year.
Oh, really?
David Kay.
Oh, really? Oh. Wow.
Let's go meet Megatron.
I think Sideburn's already planning next year's trips here. But I guess if everybody else has got their fill of talk for the night, anybody have anything extra they want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
Good.
I need help transforming War for Cybertron Optimus back into car mode.
It's not that
hard.
The
only thing I can describe that to you, I'd have to have my hands on it.
Hold on, quick addition. We did forget to mention that Masterpiece Thundercracker is not going to be available in the UK. So, sorry, UKers.
Ah, yes. That's right. That is unfortunate for the UK people, but, there's always import. We have to do it for Breakdown,
I'm sure they have to do it a lot for a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm sure they have to do it for most
What's
things.
One more toy? Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, that is unfortunate. Well, I believe that'll do it for this week's edition of TFYLP. We hope you've enjoyed our San Diego Comic-Con exclusive discussions. Not exclusive, but San Diego Comic-Con discussions. And our
exclusive on the way.
We talked about exclusives.
Yeah. And our SAFCON discussions. We hope you've enjoyed it. Hopefully in the next week or two we can get Mirai Baby on. I know she did actually attend San Diego Comic-Con this past week, so maybe we can get her thoughts on it, and it would be cool to hear what she has to say about SDCC. We're also going to try in the coming weeks. I'm not going to say this week, and I'm not going to say next week, because, like I said, I'm really starting to up my hours at work right now because of some changes. But we are going to try to get out a supplemental type episode and discuss at length specifically War for Cybertron and our thoughts on it, and a preview look at Fall of Cybertron as a game. And we'll try to see what we can get together as some special content for that. Don't know what we can wrangle up, but we'll see. Tune in next week to TFYLP. This has been Weird Wolf along with Natsume Ryu, Sideburn 2, and Insane Galvatron. Catch you next time. TFYLP is brought to you by GeekExistence.com. The theme song Till All Are One by Stan Bush, available on iTunes. This podcast is for entertainment and informational purposes only and is not for profit. Any names, images, or music used within this podcast are copyright their respective owners and is not intended to infringe on said copyright. Thanks for listening.